T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
On KMOX.
In on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line, talking some Mizzou this hour. We're going to hear from Dave Matter, who of course covers the Tigers for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and then Eli Gold, the legendary voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's all coming up as we get set for Mizzou and Alabama in Tuscaloosa this weekend. Chris Raby with you. It's a Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Ben Boy, our executive producer, Mike Anderson, he produces. And he's my guy here in the KMOX studios. Back after this with Dave Matter on KMOX.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Dealers, let your boyfriend deal with the dealers. It only gets inconvenient when you want to get high alone. You don't have to know how to get home. Let your boyfriend tell the driver the best way to go. It only gets kind of weird when you want to go home alone. You don't have to know the inspiring people. Let your boyfriend know the inspiring people. You can hang in the kitchen.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Great to have Dave Matter with us, of course, the Mizzou beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. Also an author. We'll tell you about his book, 100 Things Missouri Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He's got a book signing tomorrow night in Columbia before Mizzou and Alabama this weekend. You're a busy man, Dave. What's going on?
Not too much. Actually, a whole lot, but it's a fun time of year, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's talk about this Missouri team and, man, how, I don't want to say perception because you see this team, but how things may have been different coming out of that South Carolina game if you come up with the win. I know that maybe the team would have been favored. That obviously wouldn't have necessarily changed what's going to happen in Tuscaloosa, but what a difference a minute, 20 seconds, and 70 or 80 yard drive from South Carolina can make, huh?
No, absolutely. If you come out of that game with a win, you know, you feel so much better about the first half of the season, no matter what happens this Saturday in Tuscaloosa. You know, if you can be 4-2 and know that you've already got a division win under your belt, a division road win, you know, because no matter what happens Saturday at Alabama, the season's not over. There's still 6 games to play. But man, when you blow an opportunity on the road against, you know, kind of an average South Carolina team, you know, you just don't know how the team's ability to recover is going to be in other winnable games down the stretch.
Is there a common thing? Maybe this is a stupid question because the common thread is that You know, that they're not generating a pass rush. They can't stop anyone. But is there a common thread to why we see the defense continue to struggle in the same way week after week under the last couple of years of Barry Odom, Dave?
No, I think the easy answer is they don't have great players in the secondary. I mean, you don't see NFL guys back there. And that's hard to do in today's game, or it's hard to win and play great defense in today's game when everybody's throwing the ball so much and you've got these elite players at receiver, really for most teams in the SEC. And South Carolina had a couple really good veteran receivers, and when you can't match them up with guys that are making plays on the ball, it's hard, especially, like you mentioned, when you don't have a very effective pass rush, which is something Missouri's had for a long time, and now they just don't really have one. They have to find other ways to generate pressure on a quarterback, and that can leave you exposed a little bit in the back end. So they've got some issues there for sure, and you know they're going to be tested more than ever this weekend at Alabama.
Yeah, I guess that the one positive is that you have been able to score points, but again, there's a knock on Drew Lock, his record against winning teams or teams that end up going to bowl games. I think that number can maybe be a bit misconstrued just because of where the team has been, some of the games that he took over his first year, and some of the limitations of the defense, the schedule they played in the SEC. I'll ask this. Under Derek Dooley this year, have you seen positive signs of improvement from Drew Lock despite the limitations, especially with the injuries to wide receivers? Is there positivity around the offense that fans can be excited about?
Yeah, I do think the offense is more well-rounded. I think there's a serious commitment to running the ball, and they've got three really good running backs. I mean, they ran the ball almost at will at South Carolina. They probably should have run it a little bit more when the weather got bad. They ran the ball fairly well against a really good Georgia defense, you know, 2 weeks before that. And I think that sets up Drew to, you know, have good reads out there to where he can make good decisions, and as long as guys are catching the ball, you know, they can move the chains and be a little bit more methodical on offense this year compared to last year, where it was pretty much hit or miss. They had to get a big play downfield, or it was a struggle for them. But you know, last week at South Carolina, without having two senior receivers, and then the elements didn't help when they were trying to throw the ball in the rain. You know, Drew had one of his worst games statistically, but I still think we've seen enough there in spurts to where this can be an effective offense, and he can be much better than he was on Saturday.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing about running the ball is that against Alabama, who can score at will and just put up video game type numbers, you may not have the option to try and run the ball to set up passing.
Yeah, it's going to be tough sledding against Alabama. I mean, they statistically, if you just look at the numbers, this is one of their worst defenses Nick Saban's ever had, but it comes with a big asterisk. A lot of these yards have come in the fourth quarter of games that were decided at halftime when they're putting their subs in, and they're really garbage points, garbage yards. The team that's out there in the first quarter is still looks every bit like an Alabama defense. I think it would be in Missouri's best interest if they were able to run the ball, maintain some drives, and do everything they can to keep that Alabama offense off the field. That's a lot easier said than done. But I think that is at least a blueprint, or this team has the makings of being able to do that because they can have some sustained drives. We've seen them do that this year more than they ever have under Odom.
Dave, what's the mood around the team and around the coaching staff? Because I know fans that watch from 30,000 feet and, you know, get emotional, whether you're a college football or basketball fan or a, you know, Cardinals fan or a Blues fan, we always talk about moving on, and you know it's on to the next one. And while that can be hard for fans to grasp, even college student athletes need to have that mentality. So despite some of the disappointments of this year, you still have an opportunity to go and still have an opportunity to play on ESPN against the best team in the country and one of the best teams in recent history. What's the attitude like around the team as they get set for that challenge?
I was really curious to see that on Tuesday when we met with players and coaches. After the game Saturday, they were devastated. I mean, and Barry Odom later said that locker room was as down as he's seen one. And there is a silver lining to that, he said. He's seen locker rooms before after losses where guys got over it way too quickly. And this team has struggled with the loss because they knew it was right there for them. So in a weird way, he likes that. I thought when we met with players on Tuesday, I really got the sense that they felt like things are okay, that they know that game was there for the taking. They should have won it. Things got a little fluky. They made some obvious mistakes. You know, there's some penalties, a couple turnovers, especially on the offensive side, that prevented them from doing that. But I didn't get the sense that this team is just banging its head against the wall like it might have been last year when they lost five in a row and just searching for answers. I think they feel pretty good about what they have and their potential, but they've got to be able to win a close game. They have to do what they did at Purdue when they did win a close game and came back and be able to do that against SEC teams. And, again, easier said than done. But I didn't get that there was a woe is me, you know, the – Things are awful here, sense from the players this week.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for going to take on Alabama, right? Like, especially this year with the new SEC scheduling and the realignment from Mizzou joining the conference. You're only going to go there every 6 years, so may as well try to play the best. I think it'll be a cool trip for Mizzou fans who make the trip down there. And what an opportunity on that stage to play against Alabama for these players.
Well, yeah, and I think the guys that get it, I think they'll go in there with that attitude, and they'll know it's their only chance to ever play there.
Nothing to lose, right?
Missouri's never played in Tuscaloosa. If you just go in there and you're not intimidated by the moment, and you try to have some fun, but at the same time, you know, play under control and try to embrace that opportunity, you're right. There is nothing to lose. Nobody's expecting Missouri to win this game, and frankly, nobody's expecting anybody to beat Alabama this year, even when they play LSU and Auburn and whoever they get in the playoffs, or if they get Georgia in the SEC championship game. So I think if Missouri kind of goes into that game with that kind of outlook and that feeling, then they can at least cut loose and see what happens. But if they play skittish, if they play intimidated, if they play like, gosh, we don't want to be here, kind of like they looked during that rainstorm in the third quarter Saturday, then they could really be in some trouble.
I was talking to Mike Kelly about it. He said he's just thrilled to be able to go and call a game in Tuscaloosa. You must be excited to go down and take in that atmosphere. It's homecoming, which I don't know what that says about scheduling Mizzou, but just one of those bucket list places for sports fans, for college football fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been there for a football game. I've covered a bunch of basketball games.
Sure.
It's not exactly the same, I can imagine, than going to Bryant-Denny Stadium. And, you know, it's one of the cool things about Missouri moving this conference. There's still new stadiums and new game day atmospheres that those of us who cover the team haven't seen yet. Missouri hasn't played at Auburn yet, and Alabama they haven't played until Saturday. You know, going to LSU a few years ago was really cool. You know, going to Ole Miss a few years ago was the same thing. So, I've been looking forward to this one for a while.
Yeah, and I always tell fans, and I know you don't get to partake in this as you are in the press box and getting ready for the game, but, like, if you're tailgating in the SEC, and I lived in Memphis for 3.5 years, so I went to a lot of SEC football games. If you're walking around, whether you're a fan of the opposition, a neutral fan, people are all, like, generally super, super, super friendly and, like, eager to give you food and drinks and talk about football. It's just, it's one of those things where you can't really describe it until you do it. So I hope Mizzou fans, whether it's Tuscaloosa this year, traveling through the SEC East, I always love going to Knoxville. I hope they take advantage of it. It's like you said, cool to, in the midst of this long fandom, and we'll get to your book in a second, a fandom that has often been, you know, tough to be a part of, to have some of these new exciting experiences.
Absolutely. You know, and I think for longtime Missouri fans, if they make a trip like this, they have to kind of pinch themselves and forget about what might happen on the football field. But it still is, and I even said this to someone else in the media Saturday as we were walking up to the stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. It's like, we cover Missouri. We've covered them for a long time. Why are we in South Carolina? This still feels weird. There are moments where it still feels new and it still feels kind of different that you're covering a conference game between schools that are hundreds of miles apart. And, you know, it's weird. That's kind of how college sports is these days, but it's reality, so you might as well make the most of it.
All right, Dave Matter, our guest. You can follow Dave on Twitter at Dave_Matter, and that is where you can get information about his book signings and what's going on with his book, 100 Things Missouri Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You know these series that Triumph has put out, and you make a really, really interesting point, I thought, Dave, in the intro or the foreword. When you got approached about writing this book, you thought it was going to be just digging up a lot of, like, horrible memories. And I am a recent Mizzou fan, as I'm from Chicago, so I wasn't, privy to a lot of the torment until I got to the campus in 2004. But you have a really nice anecdote about Gary Link, and kind of what you found is that you know, despite a lot of disappointment, there is optimism and there is excitement and there is passion within fans. And I'm sure you know more than anyone, having covered this team as long as you have, through good times and through lots of bad times and lots of tough and controversial times, that kind of embodies Mizzou fans, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And you can say that about a lot of different fan bases that have kind of been tortured over the years in Missouri. Basketball and football fans certainly have, with their kind of epic moments that are famous moments in sports history, not even Missouri history, but Missouri seems to be on the wrong end of those. But I think I'm always amazed that the diehard fans, they still come back for more. I mean, they have this I think I describe in the book as this built-up scar tissue that to some degree is still fresh, even at the mention of the fifth down or Tyus Edney or the flea kicker. But those stories really do make up the DNA of a Missouri fan, and especially the ones that keep coming back for more. And sometimes you get kicked in the gut and it still hurts, but other times, you know, like a 2007 football season, it's kind of a surprise where you win 12 games and you're playing for championships. You know, the peak years of the Gary Pinkel years, you know, were, that's why I think fans enjoy the moment so much, because the ones that have been around for the tough times, they could really, really appreciate being on top, even if it was for only a week in the national poll. So I tried to capture all of that, the good and the bad, over the years.
What was the toughest moment to revisit? Was it Aaron O'Neill and rehashing that and hearing from some of his former teammates?
Yeah, probably. That's up there because, you know, you can talk about losing a game and I talked to a lot of former players and kind of had them relive those moments, and they don't like doing that. But then once they start talking about it, you know, there's this weird sort of nostalgia that's painful, but it's almost cathartic to talk about, whether it's the kick and catch or the fifth down. But there's nothing nostalgic about, you know, the tragedy when Aaron O'Neill died. And you hate to even call it a silver lining, but some good did come out of it. I think the team, the program, came a lot closer. I think Gary Pinkel changed the way he interacts and relates to players. And it was, you know, not the kind of way you want to learn a lesson, or not even learn a lesson, but just, you know, kind of appreciate life a little bit. But that was a really dark day, and I think I write in the book is the darkest day, worst day in the history of Mizzou sports.
How about a favorite anecdote or person you talk to, whether it be an event that you were familiar with? I certainly, flipping through some of these and reading about, you know, Mizzou beating Oklahoma, being in that game, and you know, we're going to Harpo's, and I remember being at Harpo's before college game day at 6 o'clock in the morning before that game. But those things stick out to me, but maybe even something that you weren't super familiar with, Dave. Give us an anecdote or a person that you got to connect with while writing this book that really made you laugh or made you smile.
Well, I think some of my favorite stories, and I kind of have a soft spot for the Larry Smith years when he brought that program out of the wilderness and they were able to go to back-to-back bowl games and prove that, you know, you can win in Missouri. Now, that he didn't sustain the success, but he did. And that was such a big deal at the time. I was a student at the time. I just remember how huge this was for Missouri to finally be playing relevant football games. And my favorite story from them is Brock Olivo, a great running back from those teams. And he also wrote the foreword to this book, which I think is just a beautiful introduction to the book and really the best chapter of the book. But he told me this great story that they finally became bowl eligible in 1997, his senior year, at a game at Oklahoma State, and as they're flying back to Columbia, the guys were really partying on the plane, it sounded like, but he said he just kept saying, whatever you do, don't crash the plane, because we have to continue this party when we land in Columbia, otherwise this is all for nothing. So just imagining the scene on that plane that night is something else.
Well, Dave Matter again from the Post-Dispatch. You can read him in the paper, stltoday.com is great. Podcast with Ben Fredrickson, and just Google Dave Matter Amazon, because you can find this book, 100 Things Missouri Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Also, the great book that you wrote with Gary Pinkel, 100 Yard Journey. Are you and Fredrickson headed together? Do they make you drive to Tuscaloosa, or do you do the flight to Birmingham and then the drive?
I am doing this one solo, but I am flying to Birmingham and then staying just outside of Birmingham and Hoover. A little hard to get a hotel in Tuscaloosa on game weekend, so I'll I'll make the commute from Hoover on Saturday morning.
You can just stay outside the Winfrey and, like, paint your face and pretend like you're a fan waiting outside SEC Media Days for Nick Saban to walk through the lobby of a hotel.
I've been there plenty of times, man. It's a freak show.
Dave, have a great weekend, man. All the best with the book signing tomorrow night. And follow Dave on Twitter for all the info on signings and more. And look forward to your coverage this weekend, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy some barbecue
great.
For us.
Thanks, Chris.
That's Dave Matter joining us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We will get the Tuscaloosa, Alabama perspective with Eli Gold. How cool is this? A legendary voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's got some St. Louis ties as well. He's with us next on Camo X.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on your home of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Well, this weekend, Mizzou headed to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama, 6 o'clock on ESPN, and it's great to have the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, with us on KMOX. Eli, how are you, my friend?
Chris, I'm well. Good to be with you again.
You know, it'll be good to watch Mizzou get to go to Tuscaloosa and take on Alabama. I'm not sure for how long it will be good. I'll say I was honestly a little surprised, Eli, that the game opened up as 29.5-point Alabama favorite. I would have thought that it would be much more. Maybe that's just me as a pessimistic Mizzou fan, but in all seriousness, in your eyes, just how far this year is this Alabama team in front of everyone else? Is this the best incarnation of Nick Saban's teams, at least offensively, that you've seen?
Well, obviously, on the very, very short list, it is near the top of that short list, if not at the top. We probably need a little more of a sample size to determine exactly how things play out. You know, there have been some great offenses here. People forget when Sean Alexander, who went on to lead the NFL in rushing when he was here, this was a great offense. When Julio Jones was here, when Amari Cooper was here, there were lots of points put up on the board. So, you know, to say that it's the best, we might need a little more time than the first or second week in October to make that assessment. But suffice to say, if this holds up like it is, you'd be able to say that. I don't think there's any question about that, if it holds up over the course of the season.
Well, and certainly not just one quarterback, but the two quarterbacks that Saban has at his disposal is, you know, something that any program would maybe be a once-in-a-lifetime type combination. Isn't that fair?
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And actually, you know, all three quarterbacks have played and have played very well. But you're right, last weekend in Fayetteville, when everybody saw both Tua and Jalen on the field together, you just had to chuckle because you just knew, if for no other reason, Coach Saban was doing that to give every defensive coordinator still on Bama's schedule something else to worry about.
Yeah, just what kind of player is Tua? Because I know that for those of us that, you know, are not around the program, our introduction was last year in that college football playoff title game. But, you know, how did you see this offseason play out? Obviously, some comments from Jalen about the coaching staff and his future, but we're seeing both of them, but we're seeing Tua again, as you pointed out, in the small sample size, put up just video game type numbers, Eli.
Well, nobody was surprised. We all knew he was outstanding. I don't think that was that wasn't really a surprise to anyone. Watching him on the practice field, you just sit there and sometimes you would just shake your head. I mean, the guy was making magnificent passes. And, you know, to say that he was threading the needle, I don't like using all of those cliches, but that's exactly what he was doing. You know, I forget who it was. Was it Dabo Swinney or somebody who said that a lot of quarterbacks, you know, from a distance can hit the house. A few quarterbacks can hit the doorknob. And he said Tua is able to throw the football through the keyhole. I mean, the guy is very, very good. And on top of everything else, both he and Jalen are wonderful young men. I mean, what you see publicly, the support that they have for one another, That is the real deal. They are both very, very nice young men. So you're happy to see them do well.
Can you compare Tua to anyone that you've seen? Not necessarily on Alabama. I know people have said, whether it be guys recently like Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston, just the kind of numbers that he's putting out. But
yeah,
it just his style, it's just, again, it's hard to almost put a comparison on it because we've seen so little of him, Eli.
I don't like to compare anyway. I don't think I'm qualified to do that. But, you know, we saw a guy last night on Monday Night Football continue to put up some of the most magnificent numbers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's Drew Brees, understand me, because the guy has played, you know, just a little tick over a handful of games. But, you know, there are those quarterbacks who have that it factor. However you want to define that it factor, those guys have it. And Tua is certainly one of those who has that it factor.
Eli Gold with us for a couple more minutes here on KMOX Mizzou and Alabama in Tuscaloosa at 6 o'clock on Saturday. I'm wondering because, again, for a lot of us who view from 40,000 feet, Eli, I wonder what keeps Nick Saban going, aside from having some fun with the media and sometimes at their expense. What keeps him going? What challenges him outside of winning and winning the national championship every year?
And that's what it is. He loves doing this. You know, when you talk to him, he will tell you that he's a teacher. He also coaches football. The man loves the team environment. He has been part of a team forever, dating back to when he was a kid in West Virginia and the Pop Warner leagues and all of that stuff, high school, college, you know, and around the pro game, both as an assistant for Belichick and then, of course, a head coach, and back now to college. He has always been around a team. He would miss that terribly, terribly. And I've talked to him about it. I said, what keeps you going? He goes, the next championship, the next win, and the ability to take some young men like a piece of raw clay and mold them into good people. Because as he points out, coming to play for him and the University of Alabama is not a four-year decision. It's a 40-year decision. And he literally loves helping these people become better folks, better people, whether they have the ability to go on and play in the NFL, the CFL, the Arena League, the Alliance League, or whether they're going to go and sell pharmaceuticals or insurance. He wants to help make these better young men, and that's what motivates him.
So outside of the teaching aspect, we've heard the anecdote, however it goes, that, you know, playing in the national championship, while that's what drives him, he still feels like at some level they're missing out on recruiting or whatever it is. So
yeah, I mean, everything is geared to football.
So does he enjoy winning? Does he need winning? Or is it a combination of both?
Well, he enjoys it, yes. And, you know, he says he can remember all the plays that didn't do well probably better than the plays that did do well. It hurts him more to lose than he enjoys to win, but he loves to win. But you're right. You know, we always remember when he's standing there holding the national championship trophy over his head, but there wasn't a huge smile. And, you know, somebody said, well, he's sitting there looking down at Dante Hightower knowing he's going to be gone next year. He's looking down at this guy. He's going to be gone next year. This guy's going to be gone next year. So he's holding the championship trophy, but already thinking about next year. But you should not be deceived by his facial expression or those 40-second sound bites you see from behind the podium in his press conferences. He is a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful family man. He genuinely loves what he does, but he has a way to do it, and it's his way or the highway, and that's obviously been very, very successful.
So, Eli, finally on the football front, if there is a, I won't even say weakness, but maybe a point of potential susceptibility for this team the rest of the way on their schedule, where, or just if there is one, how would it potentially show itself?
Well, I think if there is a potential susceptibility, it would be if any more injuries crop up in the secondary. It has been a very talented but very inexperienced secondary. You know, lots of players have gone. You know, Bama has restocked so many NFL rosters in the last few years. So there has been not so much a loss of talent, but a loss of experience. The good thing is that right now, every single day in practice, these very talented but somewhat inexperienced defensive backs are lining up every day against arguably the best offense in America.
Yeah.
So that really helps you on the practice field. It really does. But I guess the susceptibility would be, A, if any more injuries crop up at pivotal positions. And the other area that's been a little shaky this year has been the kicking game. Not so much the punting game. The kid's only punted 15 times, and hasn't even punted in either of the last two games. But the placements have been at times, you know, a little bit dicey. But, you know, that's why Bama goes for it so often on third and fourth downs. And thankfully, Tua's making the plays and Jalen's making the plays, and life continues. So it's a talented team, but the depth on the defense could be that area you point to if any more injuries crop up like they did last year.
I know it's all football all the time, but Avery Johnson's done such a great job bringing in recruits. Is there any excitement once you turn the page from football, as late in the year as that is, about the basketball program?
Yeah, the crowds were much better last year.
He's pulling in a heck of a bunch of players.
Yes, and you know, he's got that ability. Number one, he's such a nice guy. You know, he's never met anybody he doesn't like. He brings with him still to this day, you know, NBA records from his playing days. He brings a magnificent NBA resume, and when he comes and knocks on some young man's door, these kids who watch the NBA on ESPN, you know, were watching Avery Johnson for the last number of years. He was a full-time NBA analyst for the Worldwide Leader. So, you know, when he comes and knocks on the door, it gave him automatic credibility. So, the team is on the upswing. The crowds have gotten better. And, yes, everybody's looking forward to what should be a really good season.
All right, Eli, maybe our final question, perhaps most importantly, our buddy Mike Kelly and hopefully a bunch of Mizzou fans are headed down this weekend. If fans from Mizzou, because I know there are a handful, are making their way down to Tuscaloosa, where are you sending them Friday night for dinner, and what's one thing they got to do on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon before they make their way over to the ballgame?
Where do they go for dinner? Well, I guess that depends on what they want. There's the Levee is an outstanding seafood restaurant, as is Chuck's. Of course, Tuscaloosa and the state of Alabama, everybody goes to Dreamland for some of the absolute greatest ribs in the world. So that's where I would send them if they're looking for some good southern ribs. Dreamland is world-renowned, so that's where I would send them. On game day, if regardless of whether you're a Bama fan or whatever, if you're an appreciative fan of college football, you need to go to the Bryant Museum, the Bear Bryant Museum. It's named in his honor, and obviously it has a heavy Alabama leaning to it, but there is so much history in there about college football in general that any fan of any team would love it. So it's right there in the middle of campus, across the street from the baseball stadium and not far from Bryant Denny Stadium. It's a walk, you know, a walking distance deal. If you have time, I would do that, then wander through the middle of campus, the quad, and then eventually 2 hours before kickoff, if whether you care or not, you know, you could go to the stadium and watch the team come marching in up the Walk of Champions. So it's a nice setting. But going to the Bryant Museum, there have been coaches who have brought their teams into Tuscaloosa and have taken them to the Bryant Museum instead of doing any kind of a major walkthrough on Friday. It really is that impressive.
That's fantastic. Eli Gold, the longtime voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, thank you for all of the time today, man. We hope that it's, at least for a bit, an entertaining game on Saturday, and we appreciate it so much.
Don't downplay Mizzou, man. They've got a potent offense. The defense is doing okay. Anytime you can run, and anytime you've got the quarterback like you do, and wide receivers, maybe everybody will be healthy for this weekend for Mizzou. And they've got tight ends, which of course was a problem for the Tide last weekend against the Razorbacks. Don't just kick your Tigers to the curb. Yes, I think Bama's going to win, but it may not be that easy of a win.
Yeah, us Mizzou fans are just unfortunately well-versed in pessimism. I guess that's the best way to put it. In any event, it's going to be great to see them on that stage Saturday night at Bryant-Denny at 6 o'clock. And Eli, thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. We appreciate
it. My pleasure. Good to be with you, Chris. Thanks, man.
All right, that's Eli Gold joining us on the program. Are you headed down to Tuscaloosa? Even if not, 436-7900. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up this hour. More Mizzou talk. We're going to hear from Nick Saban coming up as well on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Hey, bada, 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 sawing, bada.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
They got good hitters.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I can see you in the crowd. I can see you because your heart lights up the sky. I can hear you screaming loud. Roaring like the thunder.
Wrapping up the 8 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line, we thank Dave Matter and Eli Gold for joining us. How cool would that be to go to Tuscaloosa this weekend? You know, if anyone wants to be a benefactor for Mike Anderson and myself, we will gladly hop on a private plane, fly down to... You know what? We don't even need to fly to Tuscaloosa. We'll fly to Birmingham and make the hour-long drive to Tuscaloosa. Mike... Would you fly to Birmingham and then make the hour-long drive to Tuscaloosa?
I would ride in Mike Kelly's luggage to get there.
Although we may be watching the game here in St. Louis somewhere.
Which is okay, too.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Just like... I have no expectation that the game's going to be close. It'd be great if it was. But I loved Dave Matter's perspective. He said, these players realize... that they're going to be one of three Missouri classes in the next 12 years who will get a chance to step on the field at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa and maybe do something great. You might lose by 30, but guess what? You won't be the only ones to lose by 30. You won't be the only ones to lose by 50 or 60 or 70. You know? That's what Alabama's doing to people. But you have a chance to go and play football in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in Bryant-Denny Damn Stadium. And no matter what, as a Mizzou fan, I think that's pretty damn cool. Welcome to the SEC. Who cares if you lose by 30? They're going to beat every team they play by 30.
No lightning delays this week, please.
Get it in on time.
Oh,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.